Love where you live. We are Radio Newark.
Hey, 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 Kevin Guthrie here talking all things mental health and well-being. We have a guest in the studio. So the guest today is a very special guest today. And the guest is Les Jones, my husband. Welcome, Les.
Hello, Kevin.
Thank you so much for being here. So today, on the back of a request, we're going to talk about relationships.
Okay.
And I thought, Who better than to talk about relationships with than the man I'm married to, Mr. Les Jones. So Les, for you, what do you think makes a strong and healthy relationship?
I think for me, my experience has been an adventurous one, to say the least. I think learning, realizing that we don't always get it right every time, learning to apologize, understanding your faults, and of course, talking. You know, it's something that both me and you do a lot. We talk a lot, we sit, we make time, we dedicate an area or a space in our house where we can talk without the distractions of telly or phones or work related stuff. I think being patient, of course, is the biggest thing.
Yeah.
And with age, I think you get to know yourself better, and you become the best version of you to offer that to somebody else.
Yeah. Yeah, we do. I guess we do. As we age, we grow and we learn, and we learn from our experience.
I think being aware of that is something, as I've hit 40 and having a few difficult years in relationships, some abusive, some controlling, it makes sense sometimes just to stop and realize where you've been and where you are.
Yeah.
I think, you know, that there's always the right person out there for you, so never give up.
I think for both of us, so talking for you just a little bit here, there's, when we look at our relationship history, there has been a level of maybe accepting things that we no longer would accept. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think for us, there's a massive awareness of mental health and looking after our health at home. You know, you're a psychotherapist.
Me?
For anybody that doesn't know. You know, we have a real understanding. I dedicate a lot of time and invest a lot of money into my own therapy.
Yeah.
It's been going a lot. So, you know, we're sort of ahead of the game, I guess, in our relationship. But still, we're human. We have discussions. We have arguments like everybody else out there. But for me, I think some of the arguments that we have at home show that there's a passion there too. So
yeah.
I think it's as healthy that we do argue like any other relationship.
It feels like what you're tapping into there is individual self-awareness. So if I'm working with a couple, one of the first things that I do when they come in is I draw them a picture of two circles that overlap. Mm-hmm. And the relationship is the overlapped part. And the two circles are the two individual people. And what I say to them is, you know, these two circles are vital in terms of their own self-awareness.
Yeah.
And what you're tapping into there is your individual self-awareness, my individual self-awareness, and how that then that affects the relationship. So the part in the middle. But because without that individual self-awareness, we can't have a healthy relationship in the center of it.
Well, I think one of the things that we talk about a lot at home is that for us to be the best version of us, or to have the best relationship,
yep,
we've got to sort of almost look after ourselves a little bit too.
Completely.
So, you know, we have this discussion at home, whereas I have my friends and I have a little bit of social life, or yep, I go into my family, or my work is a big part of my life. And then you have your life outside of our relationship and outside of the business and so on. And it's really hard because every so often the lines all get a little bit blurry and,
yeah,
and it all becomes one. But it's making sure that both of us have enough to bring back to the table.
Yeah.
I think that's something that as I've got older, I've found really important to keep my independence as a person and be who I am and who I've begun to like a little bit more. And I want to stay that person, so I'm the best person version of me for you.
Yeah.
Really.
Well, I would say this, be the best version of you for you first.
Yes. Yeah.
And then that feeds naturally into the relationship and makes the relationship as healthy as it can be. You used the word like then. So again, it feels like you were tapping into self-esteem a little bit. And again, I alluded to previous relationships. And would you agree that in both individual cases, our self-esteem has grown massively over the years?
Well, yeah, hugely. So we've been in a relationship for 6 years. And I think it was an interesting time for both of us in our lives because we were both a little bit scarred from previous relationships, both from abusive relationships. So we were sort of both on the back foot from that, really. We were both massively involved with our mental health. We were doing a lot of mental health awareness. I think when we got together, I think there was a lot of support for each other, understanding. Yeah. It didn't feel for me when I met you. One of the lovely things that I saw in you was the fact that I didn't feel like I was being judged.
Yeah.
My mental health at that stage.
For your choice of shirts, maybe.
Yeah. We'll not discuss my fashion on here, Kev. Thank you very much. But
just to clarify, you have great taste in shirts.
Okay,
thank I was you. Joking.
I'll let you off that one. In answer to your question, I think when we met, we were a little bit older too. And I think age played a big part of it. I think the most important thing for me was something that would add to my life and not distract it. It's been a good 6 years. And we're still in the learning, I'd say.
Thank you for that. So for you, what learning have you taken from past relationships and brought with you? Two parts to this question. How has it helped you and how has it hampered you?
I think the biggest thing is to stop and not react. One of the things that I find myself doing is I get into a routine whereby my self-esteem can be affected by things that happen or are said, and I have to stop myself and think before I react. There was a scenario at home the other day where I had a friend over, and in a previous relationship it would have been a really difficult scenario. My ex-partner would have been noticeably awkward, quite abusive, the whole scenario there would have been really difficult for me. My friend came over, you came into the house, and I went back into this place from 10, 15 years ago whereby, you know, I was anxious. But I didn't react. I carried on. And we discussed it later when my friend had gone. And that was mine. That was my issue that I'd brought into that scenario. So I think what I've learned is that there are always going to be these moments, and just be a little bit aware, just ask yourself the questions.
I always say awareness is key, and what you demonstrated there is complete self-awareness. And when we discussed it, you said that one of the first things you said was, this is completely my stuff. I'm aware that it's my stuff. I checked out, did I do anything that may have fed that? And you said, no, it was completely mine. And that's what we mean by self-awareness. It's you having the ability to go, no, this is completely mine. I have to deal with this.
I think, you know more than anything, my past has a massive effect on my present. And there's so many good things that have come out of it. I think we look about the negatives. Obviously, in my profession, I see a lot of clients per week, and I hear a lot about relationships. For anybody that doesn't know, I'm a hairdresser, and of course, we all know the scenario with hairdressers. Everybody comes in, and it becomes quite a personal relationship with a client and a hairdresser. So I hear a lot about different workings of a relationship. Some are quite abusive, some are lovely, some are quite warm, and you can take something from all of that. But my lesson has been learnt, and although I'm still learning, my previous relationships, I feel I'm using them to my advantage now.
Yeah.
So I'm seeing them as a practical lesson. So, you know, what's the saying? Somebody once said to me, those that start with the worst begin and end up with the best ending.
Yay.
And that's really how it feels for me. So I had 14 years of abuse and being put into hospital and my self-esteem. I became a different person. I wasn't recognized.
Yeah.
But I think, yeah, I could either let that affect me now where I am, or I use it to my benefit.
Yeah.
And there are moments where it creeps back up. And, you know, I talk about it openly as well to other people because I sort of think it could help.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I sort of see it as a friend now opposed to, you know, something that's altered my life in a negative way.
What's really interesting there is, so I want to talk about continuing. So you mentioned then that your relationship was abusive and you got put in hospital, which of course is absolutely horrendous. I guess I want to add to that just because you're not, so this is for the listener, just because you're not being put in hospital doesn't mean that your relationship isn't what we might class as unhealthy or abusive. So I had two main previous relationships before Les, and both of them weren't physically abusive, but I would class them as unhealthy. So they didn't feed me, they didn't nourish me, they just weren't healthy, but neither of them were physically abusive per se. But that it still doesn't make them right. So we end up on this continuum of unhealthy too healthy, and I was somewhere on there. You were kind of in a different place to me. When we think about physical abuse, it is very obvious. If you are being physically touched by anybody, just to clarify, it is not acceptable. However, words can be way, way more powerful because sometimes we can't see the damage that they do. There used to be a nursery rhyme. The nursery rhyme was, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me." An absolute load of codswallop that is, because it is not true. Names do hurt, they can hurt, so just be really aware of where your relationship is at. And I would say, is it healthy? Just ask yourself, is it healthy? Is it allowing you to grow? In this relationship, in our relationship, I've grown way more in 6 years than I have done in almost like the last 20. It's crazy because it's nourishing, and hopefully hopefully the same for you as well.
I think the whole outside world, I think people can look in on other people's relationship and think, you know, we have a perfect combination. We're both very social, we're very aware of our the day-to-day workings of our relationship, but we still have heavy conversations, we still have mood swings because we're human. And I'm really glad that we are like that, because it'd all be a bit boring if not.
You're dead right. We are still human. You know, one of the most powerful things that can happen, it does happen in our relationship, I want to encourage other people to do it as well. If we're at home and you behave in a way that might be a little bit unusual, or I look at your behaviours and go, wow, what's going off there? Then what I tried to do, I don't know all this because as humans we're not perfect, I tried to look at you and go, you're right, you're okay, and just check out, are you okay? And the chances are you'll look back at me and go, yeah, I'm fine. And then I go, yeah, but you know, you're kind of behaving a little out of character. And even if I do this thing called, I call it seed dropping, and what I do is I drop the seed and then walk away. So I allow you time to think about what I'm saying. And you either think about it or you don't. It makes no difference to me, but I try to allow you that space.
Yeah, I mean,
to think about it.
I think, again, I'm just thinking back to how our relationship sort of evolved. And I think probably about 2 years ago, we were sort of in a position whereby I expected you to be like God. You know, you're really aware of mental health. This is what you do every single day. And actually, I didn't allow for the fact that you're still human too.
Yeah.
And it became really frustrating because actually, and we talked about this, I was getting cross myself because I was thinking, well, it can't be Kev. You know, Kev's a qualified psychotherapist, and so it must be me.
He's perfect.
But at the same time, you said something to me, you know, you can't cut your own hair. And so when you were going through your stuff, and it was really important that we addressed that and said, you know, that's not acceptable, Kev. Because believe it or not, Kev does get it wrong sometimes. Not very often.
I do.
but you know, you're human too. And for any professional out there, whether it's psychotherapy or whatever, it's okay to get it wrong.
Yeah.
I think, again, talking about awareness, you've just got to be aware that that's part of it. And likewise, when I know you're not yourself, I want to say to you,
are you okay?
Yeah.
Powerful question.
Yeah, so turning it around, it's been interesting from that perspective too.
So we are recording this podcast today because somebody emailed in or contacted us and said, will you do something around relationships? And I was like, yes, absolutely. And the reason I get so excited is because relationships are, for me, to own it, they're really, really powerful. And I know that in my life, if I look at the darkest points, and I sit here and I've lost both my parents, and I lost them many, many years ago, early 20s, late teens, but still, when I look at the darker points in my life, they've been caused by a breakdown in relationship or relationships on their own. So when people pass, this is my attitude, when people pass, I know that they're going to pass. Maybe mum and dad went a little bit too early, but people pass away. But with relationships, it's not as clear cut as that. And whenever I work with couples, there's always this real passion around relationships because I know how much they can affect us. And somebody emailed in and said, people don't understand it. People don't understand why I'm feeling this way. And I guess I just want to say, they are so, so powerful, relationships are. Way more powerful than a lot of things in life. So if you are struggling, then go and get some support. Talk things through. Help somebody to help you understand why they're affecting you so powerfully. And that's why we wanted to do this recording today, so as we could connect back a little bit. And like I said earlier, who else would I do this with than my husband, Les Jones? So just wanted to say why we were doing this and also give relationships their space. I want to do many more of these because I am really passionate about relationships and the effect that they can have on us. So you talked then about how past relationships had hampered you. So they hamper you by leaving us, I'm going to call it a scar on the unconscious mind, which sometimes presents itself in our relationship. But your self-awareness allows you then to know that it's not about me. It's about something that's going off in your head.
Yeah. I think you use the word scar and you're absolutely right. But, you know, it's also a gift in a way. That's the way I think about it. I think it's a gift that I've been there and I choose not to go back there again. I know what my limitations are. And, you know, I came away. Yeah, I got some scars. I got some bruises. And
yep.
My nose is twice the size it used to be, but we'll not talk about that.
You've got a great nose.
But, you know, the scars were a little bit deeper. It wasn't the physical side. It was a mental abuse that really got to me in my relationship. And I needed a period of time away from being in a relationship, so I got to know me.
Yeah.
I felt like I'd had 14 years of living with somebody that I you know, i.e. me, that I didn't know. I was trying to please all the time. I was trying to safeguard myself in a way. And actually, it was such a relief to find me again and be around people, my friends, my family, that loved me for me, not me being part of a relationship that made me bad. And then, you know, moving forward from that, all of that work that I did, all of the bad stuff, sort of almost I wanted to use it so it became good.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you end up with this conscious anger and bitterness. And I didn't want to be bitter. I wanted to get on with my life and be happy.
Yeah.
You know, time is so precious. And anybody that knows me, I'm, you know, I do suffer. I suffer with depression. I suffer with anxiety massively. It's a massive part of our lives, both mine and yours.
Yeah.
My anxiety in our life can sometimes become a little bit overpowering, but we deal with it. And, you know, even with that part of it, I just want to make the most of that and move on and learn and embrace everybody that's there with me, because everybody I have in my life now, the people that I want to have. One of the things that I was never convinced about was gay marriage. And yet 2 years later, 2 years Ta-da. Ago, we got married, and that was purely because I'd met my soulmate in life that I genuinely think
that's me
will be I'll be with for the rest of my life. And so never say never, but yeah, just try. I think my advice to anybody would be learn to love yourself. That's really important. Find out who you are genuinely. Yeah. Don't try and adapt to being anything other than yourself, because you are amazing. And utilize it to your benefit. Time is so precious. Live in the now. Don't live in the past. You can turn things around so that they're a gift and they're not a hindrance. And, you know, take it forward. Those that start with the worst start in life end up with the best ending. And that's what I live by every day.
I think I'd like to say to people, it's, you know, it's okay. We know it's okay not to be okay, but you know, sometimes it's okay to move on. I've worked with so many people over the years, and there's this thing around the slightly older generation where they, you can almost see them accepting their lot, because they're of a certain age and they're going, well, you know, I can't move on now. It's a little bit late. And I see it and I go, God, that makes me so sad, because... Well,
yeah, I hear it at work.
Yeah.
The amount of clients that come in their 60s and say, I'm too old now. And my response to that is always, well, what would you be saying in your 70s?
Yeah.
You know, you could have been doing it in your 60s, because 60s is still really, really young.
Yeah.
So actually live right here in the here and now.
Yeah.
Don't put it off. You can do it. There's so much support around there now. If you are really genuinely in a bad place... If I could get out of an abusive relationship, and for many of you that do know my past was really dark and really not good at all. And I'd say to somebody, if anybody can do it, if I can do it, anybody can do it.
Yeah.
Definitely, without a doubt. I don't have kids and things, but, you know, there's so much support out there.
Absolutely. And just, again, just to pick up on the word abuse there, doesn't need to be physically abusive. If it's unhealthy and it's not... You know, for me, a relationship is, it's this balance. We were talking about this yesterday, and it's a balance between the happiness and the peace the relationship brings, and those moments of discomfort where you have to talk about something, or you get annoyed because you haven't changed the loo roll, or you haven't got new toothpaste out, those little bits of annoyance. And it's the balance between those two. I want to live in a world where the peace and happiness are greater, and that they're not entirely balanced. And in our relationship, they are. But there are still moments of discomfort. What I would say to you is look at that balance. And if the moments of discomfort are greater than the happiness and the peace, then have a think about it, and have a think about how you want to live the remainder of your 20, 30 or 40 years on this earth. So have a look at that. It doesn't need to be abusive. Does it make you happy? And I don't want to say this encourage loads of people to go through separations, but just have a think about it. I also think with life, we get one shot. We get one, as far as we're aware, we get one shot at it. And if you're 60, then you might have another 20 or 30 years left on this earth. Do you want to be unhappy during that 20 or 30 years?
I think going back to what you were just saying, one of the things that I picked up on earlier was that we, me and you, have to have our separate space. And,
yeah.
And because otherwise, what I find with us is even if we have a 2-week holiday, by the end of that, we've lost each other. We've become this one unit, and we're sort of too close to it all to really appreciate each other's company.
Yeah.
So actually, by stepping away and being with our friends for so many hours of the week or work, and then coming back in again, it's like it keeps it fresh and really, that was really powerful for me. That understanding of it's okay to not be in a relationship where it's all that one person.
Yeah.
You can walk away, be healthy in your own life, and then bring something back to the table.
Yeah. And I can be honest and say that in our relationship, that balance is slightly off in terms of my need to be around you is greater than your need to be around me. So we have this thing called attachment styles, and we all have very different attachment styles. And it's a long story, and I'm not going to go into that right now, but my attachment style with you is very different to yours with me. And you really thrive off those moments of being your own person, being on your own space, being with your friends, whereas I don't so much. Neither of them right or wrong. Mm. It depends how it feeds us as a person. So our balance there is very slightly off, but yet we still manage it. And we manage it, I think, because we communicate about it.
Because we say it, we're honest.
Yeah.
You know?
Communication.
I think you just have to be you, don't you? And I've always been honest from the word we met that I need my space. And also talking about, you know, how it works for you, I'm really aware that you moved here to Newark to live your life almost alongside mine.
Yeah.
So obviously my life sort of, I don't know, it feels like for you, sometimes you've sort of fitted into my life a little bit.
I've created my own though.
Yeah, you have now, definitely. Because we've worked through it, I think.
Yeah.
I think that's the reason why, but yeah.
Somebody used to say to me, when, as a psychotherapist, people present in a couple, what would be the most common theme that you see in your therapy room? I would definitely say it's communication or a lack of communication. It is the hardest thing to get right. I just remembered who it was. Somebody was sat in our kitchen this morning and said, she speaks French and I speak German. I could actually mention this name and he'd be really cool with it, but I'm not going to. And I was like, communication is absolutely key. And if you're speaking different languages, and I love that analogy, if you're speaking different languages, then work out a common language. It's not about either of you moving languages to the other side. You have to create a common language in the middle, because again, that gives you this balance and it gives you a space in the middle that you have created to be your own. Yeah. So if we were speaking different languages, it's not about me learning your Spanish language. It's about us creating our own language, which we do.
Yeah, and I think the other thing to pick up on that is that if you have got a different language and it's one that you enjoy, keep it to yourself.
Yeah.
But make sure that common ground where you're both in that same place, you understand that you're talking the same. So therefore, I have different interests to you. That's absolutely perfectly fine. You know, there's things that I want to do that Kev doesn't, or you don't want to do, and I'm going to go and do those like you are with yours.
But
as long as what we do together is because we both want to do it, or we're under an understanding that we're doing it together, that's absolutely fine.
Yeah, and there will be moments when I will step into your world and do something you want to do because there's a level of respect there, and vice versa. So we talked about communication there. The other thing that, for me, is so important, way, way more important than the word love, is that there is respect in the relationship. Yeah. I would far rather somebody say to me, no, I really respect you, than have somebody say, I love you. Yeah. Because we use the word love over and over and over again. It's overused. It's not understood a great deal. But if somebody says, I really respect you, then I feel it. For me, we respect each other first, and after we build that foundation of respect, then love comes afterwards.
Yeah, definitely.
Would you agree with that?
Yeah, definitely. I think understanding what the word respect means is important. Yeah. I think, again, that's through learning, isn't it? I think, I mean, I presume you're comfortable to talk about this, but we have we have joint therapy, and we also have individual therapy. So, you know, there's our lives are sort of broken down into, for me, it's talking about my stuff at home with my therapist, and then once a month we have our joint therapy,
yep,
where it's sort of almost a different language, because we're talking about a generalized,
yeah,
you know, week to week communication. It can be as menial as you know, who's done the washing up or what the dogs or whatever,
yeah,
to bigger arguments. But it's understanding to take things like respect to a point of therapy and work through that. What is respect? Do you respect yourself?
Yeah,
that's my biggest thing. I had to learn to respect myself, because I was no good with anybody else until I understood that, you know, you've got to respect and love yourself.
So just to clarify that point there, so what you're saying is, and I completely agree with you, that you have to, I was talking about respect in relationships and how that is the foundation for a happy, healthy relationship. But what you were saying was that you have to learn to respect yourself first before you can then develop a mutual respect.
Yeah, you've got to work out what your level of respect is. Yeah. You've got to understand the word is used so commonly that you need to understand it. You know, it needs to be ingrained. You need to use it. You need to respect others. You need to respect yourself. You need to, you know, and then obviously that goes into your relationship side of it. But, you know, respect is a big part of it. But for me, it was learning about respect for myself.
Yeah.
On the back of a bad relationship, I had no self-respect. You know, I didn't want to carry on living.
Yeah.
So how on earth, where did all that begin? How did I learn to see some value in myself to carry on?
Yeah.
And there's been lots of parts of that. You know, my job, the people I work with, people becoming dependent on me.
Yeah.
It was a great support. But yeah. Learning to respect myself helps. Is the only way you can learn to respect others, I think.
When we talk about self-respect, also consider the terms. So self-respect equals self-worth, self-esteem, self-belief. They all mean exactly the same things. It's how we view ourselves in comparison to the world around us, and to respect ourselves is to value ourselves. Once we can do that, we can then take that into the relationship that we're in. And also that dictates how much you're going to accept in the relationship that you're in. In terms of if I have great self-esteem, which I do now, way better than it was 10, 15 years ago, then there are only certain things that I would accept from my relationship with Les, and vice versa. As yours has improved,
yeah,
there's only certain things that you would accept from me,
yeah,
as well. But interestingly, as my self-esteem improves, then automatically our interaction gets healthier and healthier, because I can reflect and go, oh no, I'm not going to do that because I wouldn't accept that off him. So why would I then want him to accept it off of me?
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. There was a moment a couple of weeks ago whereby I'd had to...
I have no idea where we're going right now.
Trust me, Kev, trust me. I've got your life in my hands.
My career.
whereby I'd had a particularly bad week and my anxiety was really, really bad.
So yep.
I'm sure you remember. But I had this feeling whereby I lay in bed and I thought, you know, I wish Kev could just put his arm around me and go, it'll all be okay. And I'd feel that and I'd relax into it. And I'd take a deep breath and go, yeah, it will be okay, because Kev's put his arm around me and everything feels really strong. But Kev can't do that. And it was a further week on, and it really bothered me, because I thought, why, you know, here's the guy that I've married and put him on a pedestal and adore, but yet he can't give me that support. And when I went to see my therapist and discussed it with her, and she sort of smiled and went, why do you think it is? And it's because actually the truth of it is, I can support myself now. I don't need anybody else to do that for
me.
And it was a real sort of revelation for me that, you know, I've gone through all these years of fighting all of that, and I'm all right. I can always look after myself now. So I don't need anybody else to put their arm around me and go, it'll be all right. And you do that. You know, you give me so much support and encouragement, but you do it the right way.
Yeah.
I don't want you to have to come along and drag me out of a ditch and say, come on, we'll get this sorted. I need to sort my stuff out. And I think that's where my emotion come from. The fact that I am doing it and I'm strong and, you know, I've learnt and I've dedicated a lot of time and effort and money into my mental health. There's the evidence. Yeah. There's these little things that keep coming out that go, you see, you're learning, it's happening.
Yeah.
You're not thinking it. It's you're actually doing it for yourself now.
Because you're investing.
Yeah.
Because you're investing in yourself. For me, it's about not doing for, but supporting. And I think what I tried to do with you, maybe rightly or wrongly, is encourage. And you know my stance. If you come back to me week after week after week and say, I'm anxious, you know exactly what I'm going to say to you.
Yeah.
And the thing that I'm going to say to you is, what are you going to do about it?
Yeah, you give it me back.
What are you going to change?
Yeah.
And that's not about me putting my arm around you going, that's all right, it's fine. I want you to grow. Because that's what I want to do with everybody. I kind of want, if so I hear this now, on record, this is going out.
Be careful what you say.
If I do the same, then do it back.
Yeah, we
encourage
do.
Me to grow.
We do. And I think it is really powerful, isn't it? You know, I want to grow. I don't want somebody to do it for me anymore.
No.
That's my mantra for me. We had a meeting with at work with a HR lady the other day that said, do you want me to come in and do some HR for you? And my response was really simple. I don't want anybody to keep doing for me. I want to learn so I can do it for myself. And whether that's HR or whether that's my emotional state, I want to do for myself. I don't want somebody to pick it up for me and say, it's all right, I've got you. You know, I'm a 40-year-old man and I want to, you know, deal with life as it happens. And sometimes it is a bit hard, I need to swore then, a little bit tough. But talking, you know, again, I'm really lucky because I'm in an industry where I can talk and I have a partner that is a trained professional, but...
That's me.
But yeah, you know, talking is key. It doesn't matter whether you get it right, whether you get it wrong. Anybody that loves you will just listen. And for me, as soon as it comes out, I sometimes go away and think, oh, I shouldn't have said that, you know. But it feels so much better when you've said it. And you know that when I start going quiet, that's like danger zone for us because that's not my nature.
Yeah.
I think that's happened once.
Communicate.
In the 5-6 years we've been together.
We have to communicate.
Yeah.
Les, thank you so much for being here today.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
You've been an absolute star. Really interesting discussion. And I really hope that people learn from that. Is there anything you want to leave the listener with?
I'm going to go back to the point of what I said earlier. Live for the moment. All your past, try and turn it into something that's useful. Don't let it weigh you down. Time is so, so precious. So live, learn and love and be happy and healthy.
Love that. Thank you so much for that. So remember that we remember that we deliver and record these podcasts for you, the listener. We record them because we want to help create, support, and create a healthier, happier world, a more peaceful world. There's a lot of stress and anxiety around, and actually it doesn't need to be there. Relationships are very powerful. There's an analogy I use about relationships, and it's in comparison with a car. If you had a really expensive Porsche, you would always have it serviced, you would always put good fuel into it, good oil into it, And you would regularly look after it. And I would ask you to do that. Do the same with relationships. Look after your relationship. If you value it, if you want it to continue, then give it some support. Give it some input. Give it some time. Relationships aren't meant to just bumble along for years and years and years without some sort of interaction, some sort of support. And if you need to do that by getting a professional in, then do that, okay? Because it is really valuable. So I'm going to close now. Remember that if you need to communicate with us, you can contact me via Guthrie Therapy. You can contact the studio on all of their details. They have a Facebook page. And of course, there is radionewark.co.uk. So please contact us. If we're not covering subjects that you want us to cover, then please let us know. And we will make that happen as we did with this one. Okay, so I'm going to close as I always do. Please take care of yourself. first and take care of everybody around you. Love yourself first. Take care. Bye-bye.